invite you to turn in your Bibles or in your Psalters to Psalm 88. We're meditating today on this psalm. Before I read it, I would just let you know that in the opening exercises for the children's class today, that Amber Heron gave an excellent illustration of this psalm, and some of you may remember the time when baby Drew Hollow, 2 years old, got stuck in the kitchen with a locked door, and he cried out in distress. And by the way, as Amber also pointed out, his cry was answered by his parents. So think of the distress of one crying out to the Lord that you hear in this psalm, and the answer that comes from God. A song, a psalm of the sons of Korah, to the chief musician, set to Mahalath Leonoth, a contemplation of Heman, of the Ezrathite. O Lord, God of my salvation, I have cried out day and night before you. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is full of troubles. My life draws near to the grave. I am counted with those who go down to the pit. I am like a man who has no strength, adrift among the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, and who are cut off from your hand. You have laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the depths. Your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me. You have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I cannot get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction. Lord, I have called daily upon you. I have stretched out my hands to you. Will you work wonders for the dead? Shall the dead arise and praise you? Shall your loving kindness be declared in the grave, or your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Shall your wonders be known in the dark, and your righteousness in the land of forgetfulness? But to you I have cried out, O Lord, and in the morning my prayer comes before you. Lord, why do you cast off my soul? Why do you hide your face from me? I have been afflicted and ready to die from my youth. I suffer your terrors. I am distraught. Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water. They engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. This psalm is what we often call a lament. It is a crying out to God in the midst of dire circumstances. In this passage, there are, we don't know exactly what the troubles are that the psalmist faces, but we do know that he describes his life as passing away, and he wonders if the dead will praise God. While we don't know what the dire circumstances are that he faced, we do have an example of faith that is expressed in the midst of dire circumstances. And that is the main idea of this psalm, that when we have fears, that Christ himself strengthens our faith, so that we are able to call out to him for help. When the psalmist describes his life as passing away, he isn't speculating here about life after death. And these verses right here in the middle of the psalm, verses 6 through 9, are ones that are descriptive of death, and could be read to say that there is no life after death. But that's not exactly what the psalmist has in mind. Other psalms and the rest of Scripture make it clear that the people of God in all time and even in the Old Testament believed that there was life after death, and that there was a life that was caught up into the glory of God's presence. So that's not what the psalmist has in mind here. Rather, this psalm laments at the ending of the earthly life, and he laments over this rightfully so. We are reminded that death isn't natural. It comes because of sin. It brings decay and an ending of something good that God has given, a good life that is God's gift. And it is also an ending of the testimony and the worship that is given by us in this life. Whatever trouble the psalmist faces, it frightens him that it would come to an end and would bring to an end those good things that he has enjoyed in this life. So what does the psalmist do? It's tempting in the midst of troubles to have a variety of responses. It's tempting to get angry. It's tempting to doubt. It's tempting to lash out at others around us or at God himself. But what does the psalmist do? You'll notice that he calls out to God in the midst of his fears, that he expresses a deep-seated faith that the Lord would help him and comfort him. There are three times that the psalmist asks God to deliver him. You can find it in verses 1 and 2, verse 9, and verse 13, where the psalmist repeatedly asks God to hear him and to help him. I want you to notice this about crying out to God in the midst of trouble. He acknowledges that God is controlling every aspect of his life, even his life in the midst of those dire circumstances. He recognizes that God is right and good, and he is always this way, so that the suffering that he experiences is not somehow outside of the power of God, and neither is it unjust or unfair. Because of this, he could look to God for answer, for forgiveness, and for deliverance. The psalmist touches on a very human emotion, the human emotion of fear in the midst of trouble. And in this psalm, we have expressed faith and fear at the same time. Even while faith and trust are expressed, the psalm also expresses fear. And it raises a very pertinent question, and that question is, can a Christian have both faith and fear? Or some people would ask, doesn't fear reveal a lack of faith or an absence of faith? What I would urge you to see is that in this psalm, God leads us to express a sincere faith, even though that may be faltering. A sincere faith, even in the midst of fears. And in a very real way, we could say that we struggle every day. We struggle every day to be faithful and to cling to Christ. But we often face fears that are very penetrating and shake us to our core. It's for this reason that God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, sent his own Son to redeem us from our sins and to represent us. In the New Testament, God reveals himself as sending Christ to intercede for us, and that this is the reason that he lives. Hebrews says that he lives to make intercession for us, so that even in our fears and even in our faltering, by the power of Christ, we are still able to confess a sincere faith. Like what Paul says in 2 Timothy, he says, the saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. One more thing I would have you notice is that the psalmist understands that in his hour of suffering, that there is as well an element of God's discipline. He mentions God's wrath specifically. And even here, he expresses faith in the midst of that discipline. Since it is the Lord who is meeting this out, it is the Lord who has the right to forgive. And he very humbly approaches the Lord because of this. Let me make two brief applications as you think about this month. First of all, personally, we all face hours of darkness. This life will include very troubling circumstances. We will go through times where we have sickness or pain or loss of loved ones, even isolation, troubling times that we face. Remember the temptations that we face to get angry, to doubt, to lash out at others or at God, and instead learn from Psalm 88 that Christ is our mediator, and that through him we are able to express to the Lord both our fears and our faith. We can depend upon the Lord in prayer and in praise, crying out to God, expressing to him those emotions that we are going through, but most of all, expressing the trust that is so necessary in our lives. Then a second application, and that would be to think interpersonally. One of the trials that this psalm describes is the isolation from friends and being cut off from others. I would urge you that when others face dark hours, that as you know of those experiences, to find ways to comfort them and to comfort them in Christ. Remember that there are many things and many pains that afflict us in this life, lots of different things that cause loss or sickness or hurt that plague us with fears and doubt. Interpersonally, be aware of those times and seek out your brothers and sisters in Christ to comfort them with the God of our salvation. This is what the psalmist does personally, and he gives this then to us interpersonally so that we might know that the body of Christ is assembled around us in the midst of our troubles. O Lord, God of my salvation, I've cried out day and night before you. I invite you to turn to 88 selection A, the opening selection.